It is so good to see you here tonight. The things that we do, our God is so good. When we worship Him and praise Him and sing these songs and pray these prayers, it's just supposed to be uplifting, and I've already been uplifted for being here. And just God has blessed us so greatly, all the things He gives us in life, especially His Son, especially His church, the ability to come and do these things, especially on this first day of the week. I encourage you to open up your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. A famous parable that Jesus taught. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now, Jesus told this parable for the purpose of teaching us lessons, and this was taught from the premise that men ought to pray and to not lose heart. That was the thrust of this lesson. That was his design and his ambition to teach us to do these things. And he talked about in verse 2 that there was a judge in a certain city, and this judge, he didn't fear God or regard man. And look, that could have been a desirable quality for a judge, couldn't it not? If not that fearing God part, but at least that part where it said he had no regard for man, that could have been something that would have been good for a judge to possess. That could have made him an impartial judge, a fair adjudicator. It's said of God in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 that he is not a respecter of persons. Or another version of the Bible says he shows no partiality to people. So one aspect of God's nature is this, that he shows no partiality, and that makes him an incorruptible judge. That makes him a just judge, a righteous judge. And with the right application of this disregard for man, that would have been a good thing to have said about this judge in this parable. But Jesus tells us plainly in verse 6 that he was unjust. He was an unrighteous person. He was an unscrupulous man. And in verse 3, Jesus said, a widow came to him, and this widow was seeking justice from her adversary, another version of the Bible says. I think the New King James says that. Someone had wronged her. Someone had done something against her to bring her harm, and she wanted to make that right. Now listen, if that judge had no regard for man, how do you think he felt about this husbandless woman? She was less than insignificant to him. She held no status in society. She had nothing to offer this man. She had no bribe to tender. What was she going to do to influence this man? Someone had done her wrong. So what? Big deal. What did that mean to this unrighteous judge? She demanded justice. But this guy didn't care a whit about justice. He was the unjust judge. So you would think she just is probably barking up the wrong tree with this fellow, with her complaint, with her plea, with her request. She only had one asset in her favor, one thing going for her, and that was her voice. Actually, she really had two things going for her when you couple that with her persistence. So she had her voice, and she had her stick-to-itiveness, her persistence. And in verse 4, it says, Jesus tells us that her plea fell on deaf ears for a while. For a while, she was just as easy to ignore as that dripping faucet in the bathroom, right, fellas? You know what I'm talking about? That faucet starts leaking, and you could ignore that for a couple of days. You don't feel like messing with that. But after a while, after that steady drip, 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 after that continually on and on and on, that pestering noise, it begins to annoy you, doesn't it? And after a while, it might as well be Niagara Falls in your bathroom. After a while, you can't not hear that noise. And worse still, it annoys your wife. Then you really got some noise to contend with, right? So, some noises you just get used to after a while, don't you? There's some things you can grow accustomed to. Not the steady dripping of a faucet. Not that low battery signal on your smoke detector. Anybody ever had that thing come on in the middle of the night and just aggravate the tar out of you? It's designed to do that, you know? It's supposed to irritate you so you'll get up and put a new battery in there so you can be safe and your family can be safe. But after a while, it just drives you crazy and you have to do something about it. And that's the way it was with this judge. He could easily ignore this woman for a while, but eventually it just wore him out. And he said in verse 4, though I do not fear God nor regard man, verse 5, but because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. He was a crook, but he was an honest crook. He understood who he was. He knew that he did not fear God. He did not respect or regard man. At least he was honest with himself. He had no use for justice. But just to make her happy, just to shut this woman up, he was going to give her what she wanted, that justice that she sought from him. She wore the old crooked judge out. He did the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. And Jesus said in verse 6, hear what the unjust judge said. And what Jesus tells us here is that we can learn lessons, spiritual lessons, things that can make our lives better from a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And Jesus is the master at doing that, isn't he? He teaches us that there are vital spiritual truths, vital spiritual lessons that can be learned from the worldliest of people. You think about over in Luke chapter 16, where he talked about that unrighteous steward, that we can learn how to make better decisions in our lives from a shoddy business manager. That we can learn to be wise as serpents the whole time that we're being innocent as doves, as he says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. We can learn righteous lessons, lessons in righteousness and holiness from unrighteous and unholy people. And that's the way it is with the story about this judge. What did the judge say? Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge says. He said, I will avenge her. Because she troubles me, and it will weary me if I don't. So the judge brought her justice. He gave in to her wishes in the end, and we can learn at least a couple of lessons from this parable. First of all, Jesus said from the very start, the reason why he taught this parable was so that we might always pray, so that we might learn to always do that, always be prayer ready. This widow didn't have much going for her, as we said. She had her voice, and that judge had two ears. And it's just an unjust judge listening to the pleas of a persecuted woman. And look, if he is willing to do that, if he is willing to listen to her pleas, if he is willing to give in and satisfy her and give her the justice that she pursues, what about the righteous judge in heaven? What about our Father who dwells on high? Will he not be willing to do that for us? Won't a loving Father listen to the pleas of his children that he dotes on so much and answer their cries for justice and answer their cries for comfort and for encouragement? When we're down, when we're out, won't he hear our pleas? If this judge will do that, this unjust guy, won't our perfectly righteous, perfectly just judge do that for us? Certainly he will. Certainly he can. Certainly he's going to do that for us. Let me ask you, have you ever felt slighted in your life? Have you ever felt life was just unfair? Have you ever felt really small and insignificant? Have you ever felt helpless to do anything about your circumstances? You're not. You have one of the greatest tools available to you that is in existence in the world today. So listen, don't hear what the unjust judge says. Hear what the just judge says. Hear what Jesus says about prayer in Matthew chapter 21 and verses 21 and 22. Jesus said, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say at this moment, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. If you ask it in prayer and you believe it, you have faith, you have confidence in God and your plea and in the one who has the ability to deliver that, he will grant your request. Now, this woman asked this judge, this unrighteous judge. And the reason why she kept on asking is because she believed. She believed in her cause. She believed that she was finally going to be satisfied. She was finally going to be justified. She believed that she would be heard. and that she would be heeded. And that's exactly what happened. Maybe even without reason. Maybe against all odds, she believed this in her heart, in spite of that nasty old judge and his unwillingness to listen at start. But listen, shouldn't we have every reason to believe that God is going to hear us and He's going to answer us and He's going to do that favorably? Jesus says if we ask anything, and I'm going to throw in a parenthesis, within reason, I think that is implied there. If we ask anything within reason and believe we'll receive it, then we're going to get what we need. It's not about wearing God out. A lot of people look at this prayer and say, well, we're just supposed to pester God to death with our prayer and He'll finally give in to us. That's not what this parable is about. It's about understanding what an awesome, loving, righteous, merciful Father that we have in heaven and how He wants to do good things for us. Look, that unjust judge didn't want to do that for that woman. She just wore him out. God wants to. He wants to do these things for us. He loves us that much. He wants good things for us in our lives. But you know what? He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to tell Him. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him based on this communication continually. Not wearing Him out, but always going to Him because we trust Him, we love Him, and we know we need Him. And hear what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, 9 through 13, I think this really captures the thrust of what Jesus is saying here about hearing the unjust judge. Hear what He says about some other things. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. Will he give him a snake instead of a fish? Or he will not do that, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more? That's really what Jesus is talking about here. This judge, unrighteous, unjust, corruptible, if He's willing to do these things for this woman because she petitions Him continually, if we, as earthly fathers, earthly parents, love our children enough to do good things for them, to see to it that they have all the things that they need in this life, how much more will our God in heaven, who gave us life, placed us on this earth, wants us to be with Him forever, how much more will He give us all the things that we need? Every good thing. And look, He knows what's best for us. We can get frivolous with our requests if we're not careful. We can take Jesus at His word literally and say, whatever we ask, we'll receive. And we can ask for some pretty ridiculous things if we take that too literally. But no matter what we ask for, if God knows it's good for us, He's going to make sure we get it. God's going to make sure that we have the things that we need. He won't let us go lacking in anything. Now, think about this widow's request. It was not a frivolous request. It was very serious in nature. It was important to her well-being. So that's the kind of things that we should keep in mind as we're praying to God. The things that He will not refuse us are those things that are important to Him and important to us. Second lesson that we can learn from this parable is to not lose heart. Remember, the reasons for teaching this parable was that men, they ought always to pray and that they should not lose heart. The widow, once again, had that voice going for her and she had that determination going for her. She did not lose heart. She did not grow discouraged. The judge lost heart. He's the one who did that. She didn't budge on her request. He didn't budge at first in relinquishing that request to her, but he grew troubled over a period of time. He grew weary. He gave in. He grew discouraged. The widow did not do those things. Once again, this is not a lesson about wearing God out with prayer until He gives us what we want. This is a lesson about making sure that we don't grow weary ourselves, that we don't wear ourselves out, that we don't give up, that we don't throw in the towel and surrender. It's just about not losing heart when things don't go the way we want them to. We don't get them when we want to get them. We don't get them how we want them, where we want them. It's really about praying to God for what you need, for the strength to pull you through, until you get it, and just the faith to bear you over till the end, I think is what Jesus is talking about here. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Don't get tired of doing what is right, even if it seems like everybody else in the whole world has done that. This parable, I know in my Bible, there is a heading at the top, and it says parables about prayer. And it certainly is. He does talk about prayer there. But you know what I really think this parable is about? I really think the thrust of this is, it's really a parable about faithfulness when it gets down to the heart of it. The widow was persistent with her plea. But listen, it was because it was a righteous pursuit. It was a righteous plea. She had a righteous endeavor here. The pursuit was for the right thing. It was not turning away from a just cause. She had been wrong. The other person was in the wrong. She was in the right. She was trying to do what was right in her life. But look, instead of hanging her head when things didn't go her way and just saying all is lost and woe is me and just giving up all hope and going home and wallowing in her own pity and her own misery, she held firm to her purpose. That's what this parable is about, I think, about hanging tough and doing the right thing in difficult circumstances. I think this is really the heart of the issue here. Stay true to your cause. Maintain the course no matter what's going on in your life. Be true to what is right and the pursuit of justice. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Are you doing what's right in your life? Keep doing that. Even if you think things aren't turning out the way you want to because of that, keep doing that. Even if it seems like the whole world wants you to quit and give up, your family might be laying on you, putting the pressure on you to do that, your friends, your co-workers, you stay firm and true to God. Don't get discouraged and abandon the Lord. And look, if you get discouraged, anybody in here ever get discouraged? If you do get there, maybe you're at a place in your life right now, you're discouraged. If you're down there, that's where Satan wants you to be. Discouragement is his tool. He wants you down and he don't want you to get up. But listen, if you're down there, while you're down there, just go ahead and look up. And since you're already on your knees in the prayer position, you go ahead and go to God in prayer. Because that's the best thing you can do. When Satan's got you down, you look up to God. You don't stay down there on the ground, in the dirt. Don't give up. And then, in verse 7, God says, or Jesus says, "Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night?" That's not a question. That's a definitive, affirmative statement. That is a statement with an exclamation. He will avenge those who cry out to him day and night. He will stop the mouths of the irritators. He will crush the weapons of the persecutors. He will fly to the side of his needy saints. You cry out to him. Day and night, night and day, if that's what you need to do. You do that. Be persistent in prayer. Let him know how much you totally depend upon him, on his love, on his care, on his justice. Just like that widow, wasn't that really where she was in her life? She was absolutely, totally, and completely dependent upon this unjust judge to make things right for her in her life. He was the only one who could do it. We need to let our God, the just judge, know how utterly dependent we are upon him, and we can't do anything without him. But look, it says in verse 7 again, he bears long with them. That's what the New King James Version of the Bible says, not the New American Standard that I read from originally. I believe that's really what Jesus is saying at this point, that he bears long with them. In other words, he doesn't always seem to be a timely champion. He bears long with the sinful people in the world. I believe that's what that's saying. Some people would argue with me there. But don't give up, even if it appears that God's not listening to you. Even if it seems that God's not paying attention, that he takes no notice of you, that he doesn't care. He is watching you. He does care for you. And look, he's no unjust judge. He's merciful. He hears. He will heed your call. But look, you've got to bear with him while he's bearing long with them. But Jesus said, nevertheless, in verse 8, will the Son of Man really find faith on earth when he returns? It's really what this parable is all about, if you ask me. I'm convinced it's all about faith. It's all about being faithful. Faithfulness in our pursuit of God, of righteousness, of justice, of doing God's will. And Jesus asks, will he find faith? Will we be faithful to the end? Even if we don't receive justice on this side of the grave, will we remain faithful to the very end? Until our avenger returns, will we be willing to do that? Look, many did not. Many crumbled under the pressure. And many didn't crumble under the pressure, but they still didn't get their vengeance. They still didn't get their justice in this life. We read about them in the Bible. And many will not. And you think about who this particular parable was spoken to. It was spoken to people who were being severely persecuted for their faith at that time. You back up to chapter 17 of the Gospel of Luke, and you look at what was taking place there in Jesus' life. He was warning the people gathered around him right before he told them this parable about being prayerful and being persistent and hanging tough. He said in verse 25 that he himself was going to be persecuted and rejected and handed over to be killed. And he foretold of destruction that was going to happen right there in the city of Jerusalem, just like it happened in the days of Noah, when those people weren't listening to Noah, and those rains started to descend and those floods started to ascend, those wells in the ground broke up and all those people were killed. He said destruction's coming like that, just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven. That's the kind of destruction that was going to be heading the way of the people that Jesus talked to in this passage, in this setting. And he's letting them know, and he's letting us know, it's worth holding on. It's worth holding out, gripping firmly till the end the hand of our Savior, just clinging to our faith, because look, it won't be a bitter end if we do that. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. It's really what this is about. Staying tough to the end, no matter what this life throws at you. Clinging to your hope. You know what it says about hope? In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, it's the anchor of our soul. It's that which keeps us steadfast, unmovable. What happens if you lose hope? There's no telling where you're going to drift. There's no telling how far down you're going to sink, where you're going to go, how far away you're going to find yourself from the Lord if you don't hold on to your hope. Don't get discouraged when things aren't going your way. And when you do get discouraged, don't stay that way. Don't let Satan defeat us. We are to be prayerful, persistent, hopeful, faithful people all the days of our life in Christ. No matter how difficult life seems or how it actually is, God will never let you down. Did you know that? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never desert you. But look, don't you leave Him. Don't you desert Him. That's the worst thing you can do when the times get tough. He hears your pleas. He really does. You might not think He does, but He's listening. He answers your prayers. And He will lift you up, and He will renew your strength. Don't lose heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, last passage of Scripture this evening. We'll read, and then we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. We read there, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, talking about our bodies, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have every reason to not lose heart, like Paul encourages here. We have every reason to cling to God in trusting, loving faith. We have every reason to have hope for a better future, because God has prepared us a place made without hands, eternal in the heavens for us, if we're just faithful to the very end. In the meantime, before we get there, before we have that reward, before we have that mansion on high that Jesus has promised us that He went back to prepare, always pray and never lose heart. And listen, if you find yourself in a point right now in your life that you have lost heart, it probably is a good indication that you're not praying enough. Don't you find that to be the case in your life? The less I pray, the more discouraged I grow. The less I pray, the more uncertain life sees around me. The less I pray, the more irritable I become. And on and on and on. Pray to God in all circumstances. Stay faithful. Cling to your hope. And He's going to see you through. You can go ahead and pick up your songbook. We're going to sing number 104. Give you an opportunity to obey the gospel tonight. Is your hope fading fast? You feel yourself sinking in the sea of discouragement and doubt? We want to help you. Anything we can do to help you tonight, we want to do that. Look, we talk about praying this evening, how important that is, an important aspect of the lesson that Jesus taught here in this parable. We'll pray with you right now. You come up and you talk to us about what's going on in your life that's got you down, that's causing you to have doubts in your faith. We'll pray with you. And I promise you we'll pray for you. If there's any other way we can help you spiritually, to lift you up, to strengthen you in Christ, to make you closer to Him, so you can make it to your goal at the end anyway, we can help you this evening. You come up here and talk to me while we're standing and singing your encouragement.